What's up, Beardos? This is a special Patreon exclusive episode where we're going to go over Andy's recent visit to Natural Products Expo West. Unfortunately, I was not able to be there, but Andy tried a lot of great food and we wanted to give you a little bit of a review of what he ate. Now, in the upcoming episode, in the full-length episode, we're going to go over Andy's top three, but we wanted to give you special Patreon donors a little bit more of a taste if this is your thing. If it's not your thing, you probably didn't click on this link, so that's all right. But if you want to hear about this great food that Andy had, let's get into it then. So Andy, give us a review. Let's start it off.
Yeah, I feel like this is, it's not even like an episode. It's just going to be rambling about food. And I know for some people, they love that and they wish we did more of it. And for other people, it's their absolute nightmare. So for those that love it, welcome and thank you.
Hopefully we don't lose any Patreon donors over this one.
People are going to start giving negative money every month. Somehow they're just taking money from us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for those that aren't familiar with what Expo West is, it is this giant natural products expo. I explained this a little bit in the new episode, but it's essentially a place where a lot of companies that are sort of in that field of what would be in like the natural section of the supermarket, they're there. There's also supplements and there's, you know, people that are selling their packaging or their new labeling or whatever it might be, as long as it is somehow appealing to something that's like organic or non-GMO or, you know, something in that general space. So by extension, there's a lot of vegan companies there. There's a lot of people that are promoting vegan products. And I've definitely noticed over the last few years that I've gone that the amount of vegan options that are there and sort of the visibility of the word vegan has definitely increased over the years. So It's pretty exciting to go. It is a massive event, Paul. There's two of them. There's Expo West, there's Expo East. Expo East in Baltimore is much smaller. Expo East, it's big, but you could go there and in probably one and a half days, you could just start from one end and go to the other and just kind of wind your way up and down the aisles and see everything there is to see. Expo West, I would say it's almost impossible to see literally every booth that's there unless you take the full 3 days and really dedicate yourself to going for the entire time that every exhibit hall is open. It has an attendance of 80,000 people.
Andy, you are not selling it for me right now. That seems overwhelming and unpleasant.
I said this in our Instagram story, but it's in many ways, it's kind of my nightmare because one, it's just huge crowds, but also it's a trade show. So everyone has to wear their name badge around their neck and actually you have to wear it. And when you're entering the building, they have security checking to make sure that your ID lines up to your name badge. Like this is generally not something that the general public can just easily go to. It's something like several hundreds of dollars. If you have no association with the industry to get in, it's like $700 to go in. But if you have an Instagram that has a certain amount of followers, if you have a blog, if you're any type of press, you can get in for very cheap or free. And it's funny because it's definitely this sort of, it's not quite a class system, Paul, but it's on your badge, at the bottom of your badge, it'll have what you're classified as. So if you're just someone that's an exhibitor there, it says exhibitor and it's in red. And then if you're media or if like media support, like if you're like a camera person, that's something that like no one cares about. But if it says like media or press, or there's now they have a new rank for social influencer for people with a lot of followers on their blogs or Instagram or what have you, and you can tell as you walk up to a booth, people very subtly just kind of look at your tag, and you can tell that they are gauging up whether they think you're important and whether they should spend time schmoozing you and trying to give you free samples. And for me, it's always very uncomfortable because as much as I like a nice free sample, it's also just like, who the hell am I? Like, you know, sometimes this year is the first time that I was qualified as press. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'd noticed a bit of a difference in how I was treated. And I ran into some friends who previously had been press, and this was their first year not being press. And they said they noticed a difference in how they were treated. So I don't know. It's just, the whole thing is kind of bizarre. And so because of that, people are really trying to small talk. And I talked about the fucking weather so much, Paul. Like, it's just, especially when, oh, Connecticut, huh? It must get a lot of snow up there. It's pretty nice in LA, though a little unseasonably cold and rainy. Had that conversation a million times at Expo. So as you know, that's not my favorite thing to engage in.
Last year, was your badge Andy Tabar peasant?
No, I think I got, well, last year I actually did not go because I had to go to my mom's retirement party. But in previous years, the first year I got in, I was a guest of a vendor that was there. So it just said exhibitor guest. And obviously no one gives a shit about exhibitor guests.
Yeah.
And then I got in under Compassion Company, which was listed as retailer. And those are people that generally have like a store and they're going to purchase things for the store. So people like those, but if no one notices your name, if it doesn't say like Wegmans or something on it, I think people are a little less interested.
Yeah.
And I did get in under Bearded Vegans 1 year, but it wasn't under press. So I think it was just like social enthusiast or something like that. So
it's so strange.
It is. It's such a weird system, but it is something that I enjoy because I definitely suffer from that FOMO when I see that there is new products coming out. So it is kind of cool to be able to sort of try them before a lot of other people get to and sort of have an opinion. And also, it's the kind of place that if you ever walk through Whole Foods and you're like, I would wonder what every single chip and hummus here tastes like, you can do that. And instead of having to buy all this shit, you can just try one chip and go, it tastes like a corn chip. That tastes like hummus. It's also just, you know, things that you don't really need to spend money on, but you get to try it and see if maybe you would love it. But yeah, and it's also one of those things where you first enter and you start at the first couple of booths and you get to them and you're asking them questions and you're like, oh, this is really good for gluten-free vegan bread. And then eventually you get to a point when you're just like, fuck this shit. Just give me something that's really good and interesting because I've tried 50 different brands of hummus so far and I've tried so many vegan yogurts and ice creams and it just sort of becomes this blur. So it's actually really hard for brands to stand out, especially if they're not like right at the entrance of the thing, because people get burnt out and trying all this stuff. So
what a terrible problem to have, Andy.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Right. So anyway, with all of that said, Paul, I've gone through and I'm going based off of all the photos I took. So it's mostly gonna be things that I like, cause I didn't take photos of things that I don't really like, but I've categorized these things by category and we're going to go through. First thing we're going to talk about is anything in the egg category. I only have one thing, and that is the vegan egg from Follow Your Heart. And I know this is not new at all because they've had the powdered version for a while, but they have been promising this like liquid version that you can just pour right in a pan. And that's been one of my complaints about it, was that it's a little labor intensive, you know, mixing up some water and powder.
Like you feel like you have like a junior chemistry set. You got to like get the water to a certain temperature and then like stir it in slowly. And it's like, it is a whole process.
Yeah, so they it'll be out soon. Most of the things I'm talking about will be out within a few months. Most people said, you know, spring or late summer, something like that. And so they have that, and they were serving it up. Their sample was in like fried rice, so it's kind of hard to really taste the flavor of the egg because it's with like some sesame oil and some rice and veggies. But I thought it was good, and the reason why I'm bringing it up is because they were really proud about their new formula because they were using the algae flour, mm-hmm. if you remember that.
Yeah.
And I guess apparently that made a few people sick, which I guess that must be a thing because I remember Soylent had to do a little bit of a recall because of, I think, the same thing as well. And they replaced it with soy protein. And Paul, they were really happy because soy protein gave it a whole extra 1 gram of protein.
You like, Andy, you legitimately had me excited right there for a second, because that's the big criticism of it.
Yeah, so it has gone from having 2 grams of protein per serving to 3.
That's a bummer.
So it is like a significant increase percentage-wise, but it's still never, it does not compete with actual eggs.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like a specialty thing for vegans.
And you're sure the serving size is the same? It's not now like one tiny little piece is 3 grams of protein?
As far as I could tell, it's the same amount. It's like per egg, per what is like the equivalent of one egg. So
I will say, egg fried rice does sound good.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is. I made some egg fried rice with the powdered formula before, and I thought it came out pretty well. So
yeah,
so that's the vegan egg from Follow Your Heart. They did put out a couple other things. We'll get to those as we go through. So then we're going to talk about the meat section. Now, two of my top three were in the meat section, so you'll hear about those in the episode that's coming out soon. But I got to check out the Vegetarian Plus booth. Are you familiar with them, Paul? They do like the frozen like black pepper steak and kung pao chicken that you can find in the freezer section.
It sounds familiar, but I don't think I've ever had it.
Yeah, I love this brand. Everything they've done is really good. They didn't really have anything new, but I got to try some stuff that I haven't seen very often. Like they had this Thai lemongrass fish that was so realistic that it was kind of gross to me. And they had this really good like chicken tikka masala that was awesome. But they also have this jerky that goes under the brand Myrtle Greens. And they were taste testing this a year or two ago, but I haven't seen it on the store, so I don't know what the rebrand is all for. But this jerky is probably my favorite jerky that's out there. It's a little bit moist. It has great texture, great flavors. My favorite was the sweet teriyaki. So I'm hoping that this gets out into stores somewhere. I haven't even seen it at like a vegan specialty place like Orchard Grocer or Neuch Market or anything like that. So I hope they get on that distribution. The final meat I'll talk about is Good Catch. And this was a brand that was the talk of the town. Everyone was posting it. Veg News made it like their headlining photo and their montage of all the new products that were coming out. And what they are doing is plant-based tuna and like seafood type products. And unfortunately, we got there on the last day when they had run out of their crab cakes and their fish burgers. So I didn't get to try those, but did get to try the tuna. Everyone was raving about this stuff, Paul. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it really tasted like tuna.
Do you remember that tuna that they sold at like Whole Foods that was the worst vegan tuna that's ever been created? Was it called like
T-O-O-N-A?
Yeah. It was like straight up dog food.
Yeah, I think that was Sophie's Kitchen, who does a lot of vegan seafood, and none of it's really that great. You know, yeah. It's okay. And I did stop by their booth and I tasted one thing and just kept moving because they just really don't have their shit together. I think that they're really going to go under as we start to see those brands like Finless Foods and maybe even Good Catch start to catch on. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was good. It was nice. I would eat it with some mayo on a sandwich, but I wasn't blown away by it. I didn't think it was the game changer that a lot of people were saying it was. And maybe the crab cakes were incredible, but something about it just didn't quite do it for me. But the texture is pretty good. It's like a little bit more rubbery than tuna is, or how I remember tuna being. Yeah. But overall, I'm excited for it. I think that there needs to be more vegan seafood products because obviously that's a huge issue and one that's kind of underrepresented in the marketplace. So
yeah, so
that's Good Catch tuna.
Cool.
All right, cheese time, Paul.
Cheese time.
All right. So another thing everyone was losing their mind over was these new Daiya cheese sticks.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, and so I thought I was excited because I was like, "Ooh, is this a vegan string cheese?" And it is not a string cheese. It is just their cheese in the shape of a stick. And I asked them, is this just the same formula as your blocks, but in stick form? And they said that they did change it a little bit. And I have to say, I actually thought the texture was a lot better than the regular blocks that they have.
I haven't had the blocks in a while, but I remember really liking the blocks for like cheese on crackers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I really liked the jalapeno Havarti that they put out.
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, the other ones were like okay, but the jalapeno Havarti I thought was always really good and great flavor and pretty good texture. So I don't know. These are kind of cool, but it's almost just like cheese with more packaging. So it's hard for me to get really excited about them, but I guess for the people that want them, that's cool. But it's not some marvelous innovation by Daiya.
Yeah.
Honest Stand was there, and they're a brand from Colorado that I've had a chance to try when I was doing the Denver Veg Fest, or the Colorado Veg Fest rather. And I really love their stuff, and it was great because it's all like kind of liquidy cheeses, like they come in like a tub, but normally it's in like the refrigerated section, so it's kind of congealed. And the way they were serving it was from like a nacho cheese pump, And they had like nacho cheese. They had spicy nacho cheese, just a straight cheddar, a couple other ones. One I hadn't got to try yet was a garlic parm like cheese. And I feel like you could just pour that over some pasta. It would be delicious.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, it's all nut-based cheese. The flavors are very on point, and I've started to see them pop up at more Whole Foods around the country, so I'm hoping they start to get more of a foothold in the market, because I think what they do is really, really fantastic.
What was that called again?
Honest Stand.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, yeah, they're great. I don't know. I haven't seen them in the Northeast, really, but I don't know. Hopefully soon. Yeah. And then the last cheese I'll mention is, of course, the almighty Miyoko. Who was debuting several products. The first was not a new debut for me, but it was my first time finally trying it, and that was the smoked mozzarella. So good. So good. I was not a huge fan of her original mozzarella. I just didn't love the texture. Didn't think the taste was all that great. But I'm a fan of anything smoky, Paul. So yeah. it was really good.
I think that's the only cheese that I've found so far that I'm like, I could just eat this straight up. I could just eat this block of cheese.
Well, the farmhouse cheddar and the double cream chive, like all of those, yeah, I could eat those straight up. But the mozzarella was kind of a miss for me originally.
Yeah.
But Miyoko is also debuting some new cream cheese, and there was like a plain, there was a scallion, but there was one called Unlocks Your Dreams, which is like a lox flavored cream cheese.
Is that like salmon?
Yeah. So good. It was so good.
So like. Was there chunks in it or anything like that, or did it just have the flavor?
It just had the flavor, and I thought it was great. I would love to put that on a bagel. I thought all the cream cheeses were really good, and Miyoko also had Cheers to Cheddar Vegan Roadhouse, which is I guess similar to what a lot of people would call like a pub cheese, like kind of like a dippable, spreadable cheddar.
Okay.
Also thought it was fantastic. I loved it. And I'm excited for more of these spreadable cheeses from Miyoko because I just think they're really pretty damn good. So yeah. Miyoko definitely continuing to put out really awesome stuff. And that's all the cheese, Paul. But we all got some dressings and spreads. So keeping with the dairy-themed products.
Mm-hmm.
So Follow Your Heart. I already talked about their egg, which was whatever. But they're also putting out some more flavors of veganaise. So they have a garlic aioli, which is the way to my heart. it's so good. It's probably the best garlic aioli I've had on the market. Not that they have a ton of competition. I think they had like the garlic just mayo and the wildwood garlic aioli out there to compete with. But it was good. And they were serving it. You could dip french fries in it was how they were serving it.
Ooh.
And so good. So good. So Follow Your Heart. Continue to love them. Great texture on that. They also were selling a coleslaw dressing, which you just mix up with some cabbage or whatever. And I don't know. I'm not a huge coleslaw guy, but...
No?
No, I know. I know I'm deceiving you, Paul. I look like a bunch of coleslaw in a trench coat, but I'm not a coleslaw guy. It was fine. It was not my favorite type of coleslaw, so I could take that one or leave it.
Yeah.
But Field Roast, under the Chow name, has put out a bunch of new dressings. And they have a Caesar, they have a Thousand Island, and they have a Ranch. Which is obviously, those are kind of like the standard flavors. So I guess it's hard to really innovate there and be too exciting. It'd be cool if maybe someone did like a Bacon Ranch or, you know, something to mix it up a little bit. But I thought they were as good as any vegan dressings on the market. Mm-hmm. But they also have a new mayo, which I think might be my new favorite mayo on the market. It was like very tangy, and the texture was on point, and I really loved it. So
it had that snap, that mayo snap,
that mayo snap. It's a snappy mayo. All right, Paul, yogurt. This was the year of the yogurt, apparently, because everyone's debuting their new yogurts, starting with Califia Farms. Except theirs was a drinkable probiotic yogurt. Never had drinkable yogurt before, but they had a mango, they had a raspberry. My favorite was the blueberry, so I was into it. I liked it. I think that I could find myself drinking that or adding it to a smoothie. As far as more of a traditional type of yogurt goes, your favorite, Ripple, is coming out with yogurt.
Yeah.
I like the maple the best. And also Vega is coming out with a protein yogurt, and it's 13 grams of protein per cup.
Is it like $27?
Well, I don't know, because they don't have prices on anything there, but I thought it was pretty good. But the problem with these two yogurts, Paul, is that they use pea protein, and so they suffer a little bit from that pea protein syndrome, where they, that PPS, where they are kind of gritty. Like they had the Vega especially started out feeling smooth, but by the end you felt, really felt the grittiness of the pea protein. And it's the same thing with ice creams that use pea protein, or some of the meats even.
Yeah.
So I don't know. No one seems to have quite figured out how to perfectly blend that stuff and really give it the smoothness that you want. But for someone looking for some protein, I think it's the way to go. But as far as a more traditional yogurt, Follow Your Heart is putting out yogurts. This is something they've been teasing for years now, apparently. And they say they're coming out this summer. Amazing texture, amazing consistency, amazing flavors. Key lime, pina colada, peach, cherry, strawberry, rhubarb, vanilla bean, raspberry, and just a regular strawberry. I thought they were great.
You got to try all those?
I got to try them all, Paul.
Dang. Like one spoonful or like a whole cup of all of them?
They gave pretty hearty samples, but yeah, it's like maybe two or three spoonfuls per thing.
Whoa. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, Paul. I got to say that people sometimes over serve you a sample.
Yeah.
And it's like cool at first when you get there and you're hungry, but after a while you just want enough for like one small bite so you can get the flavor and see if you like it or not. But sometimes people, like Daya has these new ice cream on a stick things that are dipped in chocolate, and they were just giving out whole ones to people.
Yeah.
And it was just so much. It was just too much. And Tofurky had some like the DIY burgers that they did, and they were giving people like half a burger. It's just too much. Just too much. They need to calm down.
Calm down.
Yeah. And my favorite of all the new yogurts was actually Daya. And I hadn't previously loved their yogurts, but I think they must have reformulated so it tastes less like Daya. And they're putting out these things called duets. So it's like a yogurt, and they have a little container on the top with like crunchies that you can mix in.
Oh yeah, like granola?
Yeah. So okay. Granola or like chocolate chips or dried raspberries, things of that nature. They had a key lime, they had a cranberry harvest, and they also had a, my favorite, salted caramel crunch. And The flavor on this salted caramel yogurt, it should have been a dessert. It's definitely not something that you're like, I'm going to have a healthy breakfast, but it was delicious.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't know, just like we were sort of seeing this like renaissance and all the vegan ice creams and all these big brands getting in the market, all the sort of smaller, or I guess all like the big vegan brands are getting into it. And I wouldn't be surprised within the next year or two, we start to see like Dannon and all those companies under their own branding making vegan yogurt, because I think that's going to be the next thing that's coming.
All right. I'm excited for vegan yogurt that's not in the individual cups. Like if I'm going to get yogurt, I'm going to get a tub of it. And I haven't really seen too many, you know, tubs of yogurts. They all sell them in the individual cups.
Yeah. I feel like when you see a tub, it's usually just the plain or the vanilla. Like Forager puts it out. I'm trying to think. Like every now and then I see them, but it's not as
exciting.
But it's definitely not as common. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite yogurt flavor, Paul?
Well, honestly, I'm saying this because I liked what I used to do when I did eat dairy yogurt is I would just get vanilla. And then I would mix in like frozen blueberries or other frozen fruit, and you kind of like mash it up, and the ice cream, and the yogurt just kind of takes on that flavor. So that was always my favorite thing to do, rather than getting a flavored yogurt. I was never super into flavored yogurt. I was into getting vanilla and then adding my own flavor.
Interesting. Yeah. I would like to see these brands putting out larger containers as well. It also just feels kind of wasteful having like those little cups as well. So
yeah, but it's good for like, you know, it's sending kids to school with like individual packets of them.
Yeah,
so it has its purposes.
Send them some yogurt and some cheese sticks to school and they'll be all set. All right, ice cream Nadamu coming out with some new flavors. They had a cookie dough fudge and a caramel cold brew cookie, but my favorite was the strawberry cheesecake flavor. Yeah, I like Nadamu. I like their consistency. I like that they're kind of leading the charge on putting out interesting flavors.
Yeah.
You know, with the exception of maybe Ben & Jerry's, they probably have the most interesting of the flavors that are available out there in pints.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to see them continue to grow and continue to thrive. Another ice cream that was exciting to me, have you had that brand New Barn, Paul?
I have not.
They first came on the market with milks, nut-based milks, but then they started doing ice cream, and I remember looking at one and going, oh, there's eggs in this otherwise vegan ice cream. That's a bummer. And so I went up to their booth, and I asked, you know, hey, is everything all vegan? And they said, actually, yes, our ice cream is now vegan. I had kind of forgotten that it wasn't vegan. And I looked at the packaging, and it still said eggs on it. And the guy's like, no, we assure you, like, it's the new vegan formula is in there, and we're going to put the new ones will be out within 2 months from now. So that's exciting. I'm glad to see that they moved to a vegan version, because why go halfway there?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to have cow's milk in it, you might as well make it all the way vegan. And the texture was so good. Flavor is not that interesting. My favorite was the organic coffee bean, but overall, I'm into it, and I applaud them for making that switch to vegan.
Have you ever had Wink?
Yeah, not a fan. Flavorless garbage.
I tried it for the first time a couple weeks ago, and like, this is something that I've been searching for so long, because it's like, you know, it's 100 calories for an entire pint of ice cream, and then I finally tried it, and I'm like, there's a reason that it's only 100 calories, because this tastes like nothing.
Yeah, well, Paul, the sorbets that I mentioned in my top three in the actual episode was like half the calories of ice cream, and it tasted amazing. So might want to check that out.
Yeah, I still have to try. I definitely want to check that out. I also have to try that Halo Top, because that's very low calorie as well.
I wasn't in love with it when I tried it. Didn't think the texture was that great, but they are putting out some interesting flavors. So maybe I'll try some more in the future at some point.
Yeah.
All right, snacks. You know I love snacks. my favorite of all the snacks I tried was this brand called Pitos, and you're going to like this, Paul, because it's their chickpea Cheetos.
Oh, Pitos. My God. That sounds so good.
I know you love a nice portmanteau.
I do, and I would love to eat Cheetos as well. So,
well, so they did not. They have three flavors. Two of them are vegan, and neither of the vegan ones are like cheesy necessarily.
Yeah.
One was kind of like a flaming Cheeto, and then the other one was a masala, and I thought the masala was incredible, and they gave me a bag to go, and I pretty much munched it all down in one go on the next day. It was really good. So I'm on the lookout for those. I'm scouting them out. Vegan Rob's is a brand that I really love. They do all sorts of various snacks. They're all like puffs. It's all like jackfruit puff or cauliflower puff, and they all kind of taste close to the same to me, but I still really like them. They were debuting these new dragon puffs, which I don't know if it was dragon fruit or what, but they're a little bit spicy, and they actually had a distinct flavor from the rest of their things, so I thought those were really good.
That would seem very expensive for them to use dragon fruit for like a snack food.
Well, I think with all of those things, it's just they make the puff and then they powder down the cauliflower or the Brussels sprouts, and it's kind of like sprinkled on, you know, it's not like a huge component, but
true.
Yeah. But also another snack was a brand called Nothing But The Fruit, and they made fruit jerky. And this is like a weird thing to compliment someone on, but I liked that it was really kind of dry. Like, it reminded me of, like, a gas station jerky, like the kind that you would get in, like, a big sheet-type jerky.
Yeah.
My favorite flavor was salted watermelon, jalapeno, and chia. So, I don't know. I liked it. It was, like, it's, like, something you really have to chew on for a while. And it's kind of, like, almost, like dry pulpy, which, again, doesn't sound like it'd be something that would be appealing, but it just worked really well for me.
I absolutely know what you mean, because one of my all-time favorite snacks is the Trader Joe's dried mango, which is the driest, toughest, chewiest thing that I have ever eaten. Like, your mouth hurts after it because you are literally like yanking at it, and it's so good, and I love that consistency so much. And I'm waiting for one of the vegan jerkies to have that consistency, because I'm going to absolutely love that.
Wow. Yeah, no, actually those dried mangoes are like one of my favorite movie theater snacks.
Yeah. The only,
a little goes a long way.
Well, I was going to say, the only issue with them is that, like, I can put away a whole bag of those, and since it's dried mangoes, there's like, you know, five mangoes in the entire bag, and I'm like, oh, I just ate so many mangoes.
So much fiber. Stall fiber.
Yep.
The other thing that Nothing But The Fruit put out that was really good was these crunchy coconut bites, and it's like four or five different flavors of them, and they're small little like 1-inch discs, and they're all different color, and they basically were like healthy Fruity Pebbles, essentially.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
so those are really good. All right, frozen food time. It's a brand called Alpha Burrito that I had never heard of before, and it didn't even really reveal that they were all vegan on their packaging anywhere, but it's just sort of a thing that people seem to know. And I thought they were probably the best frozen burrito I've ever had. Granted, they were cooking them in an oven and not a microwave, so they had like a nice kind of crispiness to them, a little browning. But
good snap.
They had a Philly, they had like a pizza, they had a couple other flavors, and they were all super delicious. So I'm definitely going to be on the lookout for those. Also, on the burrito front, Daya is debuting some new burritos. And they had a Santa Fe, they had a Tuscan.
I can get behind that.
I thought they were a little bland.
Oh, rats.
Like, they could have used a pinch of salt or a little bit more seasoning or something, but I liked the idea of them.
Yeah.
But just the execution wasn't so great. But Daya also putting out a new Meat Lovers pizza. And I've never been a huge fan of the Daya pizzas. You know, it's the gluten-free crust. It's not that great. But the meat on it was their own pepperoni that they're making. But they're using the, as far as I know, they said it was the Beyond Sausage crumble. So I'm assuming it's Beyond Sausage crumbled up and not their crumbles flavored like sausage. But yeah, the combo of those two meats was fantastic. So I might pick that up. Might keep that in a freezer if I ever have a freezer one day.
Or if you're just traveling somewhere really cold.
Yeah. And this isn't a frozen food, but it's kind of in that ilk. Chef Soraya Eatable it's like one of those things where you just pour hot water in and mix it up in a little single serve thing. And I've never had one that was so good. It's all like grain bowls and rice and beans. And my favorite was the black beans and rice chipotle. They also had a Kathmandu curry that was really good. And it, you know, like normally when you do those like cup of noodle things, they're just not that filling and it just doesn't feel that substantial. And these felt really substantial and they weren't afraid to really put some seasoning in it and make it taste good and make it a little spicy. And I'm a huge fan. So that's definitely something that I could keep in my van and get some hot water and make a nice meal. So I'm all about it.
Nice.
All right. We're coming to the end, Paul. We got some cookies and sweets. Vegan Rob, who put out those Dragon Puffs, put out a kombucha cookie.
Interesting. I'm listening.
Not a fan. I mean, it was fine. No. It was fine. It seems like a lot of his stuff they add probiotics to or cultures, live cultures or whatever, and it just felt unnecessary to me.
Yeah.
Didn't really love it, but there was definitely a ton of like protein cookies this year. Alpendough, who I previously loved. I think I put them in my top 5 a few years ago because they just have like the pre-made cookie dough you can eat. They had a protein cookie that was lemon poppy that I thought was pretty good. I don't think it's as good as Lenny and Larry necessarily, but yeah. Lenny and Larry was also debuting some new flavors. They had a choco mint, they had an apple pie, and I actually thought these were the least proteiny of the cookies that I've tried. Like, I feel like I like the Lenny and Larry cookies, but they do have that kind of pea protein aftertaste. I don't know if they use pea protein, but it's kind of that grittiness to it, you know?
Yes. Did you see Lenny and Larry, grab them by the collar and tell them to make their protein brownies vegan?
I did not. I don't think Lenny and Larry were personally at the booth that I could tell, but
rats.
Yeah. I'll try and send that message next year, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, but yeah, no, it was good. I think those are the best Lenny and Larry's flavors that have come out so far. And on the peanut butter cup front, Theo Chocolate has a double chocolate peanut butter cup. So it's like chocolate encased, chocolate flavored peanut butter filling kind of thing.
Okay, all right.
Really good, really good. And I would eat a lot of those. And also, they had something that's been out for a while, but I hadn't had a chance to try it. And that's their chocolate with bits of like root beer candy in it, like root beer barrel candy, like crushed up in a chocolate bar. And I had never had a chance to try it. Really good. I'm a
fan.
That
sounds really good.
And then also, Justin's was debuting a cashew butter cup and an almond butter cup. So it's like a peanut butter cup, but instead filled with cashew butter or almond butter. Both really good. I know Justin's is always controversial because on the back it just says contains milk, but doesn't actually contain milk. It's just their version of a may contain, and it's really confusing. And so I went up to them and I was like, oh, so awesome, everything's vegan, right? And the two people that were there just kind of like stared at me blankly, and I was like, oh no. And then they're like, it doesn't contain any animal products. And I was like, okay, so what is that? They said it doesn't contain any animal products or animal byproducts. And I was like, okay, well, so what does that leave left? And like, it's on the shared equipment. And I was like, okay, that's vegan to me. And they're like, yeah, us too. We just like to be careful. It was just so weird because it was like getting the version of the contains milk just in person. Like, oh, we can't. We're just so scared about this thing. Like,
maybe they've been sued about it.
Maybe. All right, so those are all the sweets, and the only drink I'm going to mention is this brand called Tartly, which makes apple cider vinegar drink. I know you were big on drinking the apple cider for a while, Paul. Are you still on that train?
I haven't in a while, but I've been making like weird, gross Instagram videos, so I'll probably get on the apple cider vinegar train again.
Nice. Yeah, it was, you know, not overpowering, but my favorite was this lime mint, and I'm definitely on the lookout for those because I thought they were delicious.
So were there any disappointments, Andy? Anything that wasn't so hot?
You know that brand, Vienna, they put out the Soya 2, like, soy whip?
Yes. Yep.
They were there, and they had these cheeses. I'm not sure if they're new, but I'd never seen them before. And they were just garbage. They were really bad. It's not like this is a brand I'm really rooting for necessarily, but I obviously would like any vegan brand to do well, and I think it does a disservice to everyone and the animals when people put out bad products. And with so many good vegan cheeses out there, like they had slices and they had shreds, it's kind of like, why are you trying to get a foothold in this marketplace?
Yeah.
So that was a bummer. And then I think probably the biggest one for me was Gardein,
Don't you dare, Andy. Don't you dare.
It's not that the quality was bad. It was that there was not really anything new. And sometimes people, like often brands have their own booth, but sometimes there's brands that are sort of under this umbrella and that there's like a big 40x40 space. And there's just like a little kiosk for each brand that you kind of go around to. So Delicious was like that. Oh, I didn't even mention I got to try all those new So Delicious ice cream flavors. And the maple peach was pretty good, but overall all kind of boring. They don't have mix-ins, so I'm not gonna run out and get any. But yeah, Gardein, they just had a little kiosk and they were sampling their meatballs, which have been out forever, and they were also promoting their skillet meals, which is, you know, like in a bag, you pour it in a pan and it's like pasta and rice or chicken or beans or something, you know, whatever, and the sauce, all that stuff heat up together, which isn't new. They were sampling those at the Gardein thing at like 2 years ago. I just never really saw them on the market. Not sure what happened there, but the only one they were serving was a rigatoni that had some kind of sausage or meatball in it as well. But it was just like rigatoni and sauce. So this is just really boring. And I just feel like Gardein was running full steam ahead for so long. I know they ran into production issues in Canada, but I just want more from Gardein. Especially after, you know, a few years ago, they debuted those breakfast pockets, which I think are phenomenal.
Yeah. They need to come up with more variations of chicken tenders. Just that.
Yes, indeed.
That's what they should focus on.
Crispier tenders.
Crispier.
And I guess it's not like food downside, but
I want their chicken tenders to sound like a tree is falling down every time I bite into them.
Lumberjack Paul chopping down tenders. So this is not really a food downside or disappointment, but the waste of Expo is obscene because you're getting all of these samples, and the great people, the great brands, if they're sampling chips, they're not putting like a chip in one cup per person. Some people did that, but they'd have like a bowl of chips and then little tongs, so you could take chips with the tongs and put them in your hand.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're trying, like there was a billion of those, you know, those like smoothie pouches, like the Capri Sun for a smoothie, basically. There are so many brands like that, and I went up to one to try, and they have the little foldable cardboard spoon thing, and the guy poured a sample on that, and I tried it, and I was like, okay, I try that, and I put the spoon back out so we could just put on the same spoon, and he's like, I'll give you a new spoon. I was like, no, that's cool. I don't really care. He's like, no, we'd really prefer it. And it's just like, so everyone that comes up is wasting five spoons instead of one, and it's just like waste like that is just so obscene, and it's such a bummer. Knowing that like 80,000 people are generating so much waste. So like I'm trying to figure out how I can produce less waste going to that. But I decided not to take further samples because of it. But it was a bummer. And then the final downside, Paul, is the inevitable vegan break, the veg break that happens every year.
Oh, no.
I don't think I ever told this story on the podcast, but a few years ago, I was going around with some friends, one of which, Dustin, the vegan roadie, and we,
name drop.
We stumbled upon this booth, and it was a vegan pie crust company, and they had vegan plastered all over everything, and they had made some like roll-ups that were like, it was like, it looked like a cinnamon roll kind of thing. Like, yeah, they laid out the pie crust, put some sort of filling and seasoning on it, and then like rolled it up and then cut it up like sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that was attending the booth was leaning over talking to the person next to them, and we just see vegan everywhere. And so we're like, oh great. And we try it and we're like, oh, this is really good. And then the person turns their attention to us and we're like, oh, what's in this? And she's like, oh, it's this and some Parmesan cheese. And we're like, Parmesan cheese? She's like, yeah. We're like, it says vegan everywhere. She's like, well, the crust is vegan, but the filling's not.
Oh my
and
God.
It, you know, and we're like, you know, there's vegan Parmesan. She's like, yeah, it's just not one that we think is like really good. And like, we had just come from trying the Follow Your Heart new vegan Parmesan that was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's like one of those things where it's not like you beat yourself up over it, but it's kind of like, why have the word vegan everywhere if what you're serving is not vegan?
To get chumps like you, Andy, to try it.
I guess so. So that happened a few years ago, and that's pervasive. I've learned to question a lot more now. And there was some drink company that I went to that was selling, like, you know, nut milks with flavors and whatnot, and all of their signage said 100% plant-based. And I, like, picked up one of the bottles and looked at, because a plant-based, oh, that could be suspect. And yeah. I looked at the bottle, looked at the ingredients, and everything was good. Looked at the next bottle, everything was good. So then I tried all of the flavors, and the one I liked the most was this one that had like blue chlorella, I think, in it, blue algae in it. And I was like, oh, that's so good. And then I looked at the products on that one specifically, which was also on the bottle, said 100% plant-based, and I saw honey was listed as an ingredient.
No.
And I was like, this is, you said it's 100% plant-based, but there's honey. And the guy was like, oh yeah, we know, it's, we're actually switching it over to maple syrup, so it'll be fully vegan, but we just had to rush to get it to ready for expo.
Yeah,
you know, it's like one of those things where like that happens every year, no matter how diligent you are. Like, I should have looked at the fucking ingredients on literally everything before I drank it, but you know, you check a few and you see the label plant-based and you think you're in the clear, and it's just like such a bummer. This is such a bummer. So, but that was my expo experience, Paul. I wish you could have been there with me.
I wish I could have been there too. Maybe next year.
Maybe Expo East in Baltimore. We can get you down to that.
Maybe next Bo year.
Yes, yes, indeed. So, dear listener, if you've made it to the end of this, if this is your thing and you love it, I'm going to post pictures of these products on our Patreon, so you can check them out as
pictures
you're going through.
Of the products on the Patreon.
Patreon picture products. So, so thank you for listening to this. If this was your jam and indulging me in my food adventure here, The other really weird ingredient that I saw, Paul, as I was like reading through, I turned over some product and there was like a million different ingredients, and the final ingredient was 7 words long. It was in fact the following 7 words.
We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off.
They had a key lime. They had a Harberry Cranvist. Harberry Cranvist.
Harberry.